Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, Christ's motivation unto God's righteousness in tapping God's goodness by prayer. Having extensively illustrated the biblically consistent righteousness of his subjects, Jesus summoned his hearers to his righteousness, starting with a winsome call of motivation to live rightly before the Lord. Now, that motivating call urges hearers to tap God's goodness by prayer and following him in righteous living. It's interesting, this passage deals with the desire that God has for us thoroughly to enjoy a life of faith and prayer with him. He wants to interact with his people. He loves to mix it up with his people. And this becomes evident. Beginning at verse 7 of Matthew 7, let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? All right. The Matthew 7, 7-11 admonitions instruct people who are committed to following the righteousness of God as Jesus' kingdom subjects, a fact that is seen in Jesus' reference to his hearers as God's children. You notice Jesus said, your Father, which is in heaven. So he's right. He's speaking to people who are righteous, people who are followers of the Lord. This is his own disciples. Now, Scripture elsewhere similarly provides a wonderful call for believers committed to God's righteousness to carry on a vibrant, practical life of faith in their prayer lives. The first passage elsewhere is 1 John 3:22. This verse says, and whatsoever we ask, he's talking about believers in fellowship with the Lord, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So 1 John 3:22 reveals that whatever we believers ask in prayer, we receive from God as we do those things that please him and are in alignment with his commands. Now that's one of the qualifications for answered prayer. Obviously there's another one we're going to get into right after this. But when you get an answer to prayer, that's a very, very good sign, because one of the things that's right is that you're living a righteous life. Otherwise God wouldn't answer your prayer. So that's a wonderful thing. Anytime you get an answer to prayer, you should be jumping up and down and clicking your heels together. You know, the Lord's giving you a compliment. That's right, you're on the beam. Now, the next verse, or verses, is 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And John wrote this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask in prayer anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. So the second qualification for answered prayer is not only living righteously, but to ask within his will. We have to ask that which obeys Scripture. So 1 John 5, 14 and 15 adds that if we ask anything in accord with God's will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions that we have desired of him. That's a wonderful thing, but God wants us to pray. There's a verse in James 4 that says, you have not because you ask not. Many years ago, our school superintendent, Greg Vosser, had that verse on a little card up on his room, and in his office room, which is now the copy room. And every time I'd go in there, I'd see that. You have not because you ask not. Ask that you may receive. And I thought, oh, that's great. And Greg was a great one on living by faith and praying. Pray to the Lord. And he was right on target with that. Well, these same concepts of living by faith are provided in Jesus' Matthew 7, 7-11 encouragement to those who adhere to the righteousness of God and his kingdom as follows. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the commands of the Greek New Testament are all present imperatives. A present imperative talks about an action that is constantly going. So if we want to translate this properly, we should say, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. God wants us to be actively, constantly going. Paul mentions in one of his epistles as he closes it, pray without ceasing. In the Greek, it's almost like pray at the rate of a hacking cough. It's where you can hardly get your breath to cough the next time. So, you know, prayer should be something that is a regular part of our life. God loves to hear his people talk to him. So the commands of Matthew 7:7 to the Greek Testament are all present imperatives indicating that God wants his kingdom subjects to keep on asking and seeking and knocking in prayer while also looking for his answers in prayer in their lives. Did you notice that? God doesn't want us just to stop and stay at home and pray all day long, God, please give me a job. He wants us to pray that, but then he wants us to check the newspaper for the help wanted ads. Then he wants us to say, is there somebody I know who runs a business or who knows somebody who runs a business? Maybe I can go ask, do they need help? That's what God wants us to do. Go out and start seeking, because the answer may be out there, but he wants us to get out there. I've always been impressed by the fact that when God gave the children of manna, he didn't put it there in their bowls. He put it on the ground. They had to go out and pick it up. See? And it melted by 9 o'clock in the morning when the sun came up, the desert sun. And if you weren't up early enough, you didn't eat. So he wanted his people up, getting at it, and moving. You know, so probably by 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, everybody was out. They were up. They were not getting their food together. And that was basically the daily chore. But you had to pick it up, and it was real thin, just like the frost. So you had to cover a wide area to pick it up. So there was some labor involved. So that's what God wants us to do. Pray, yeah. But then seek. And not only seek, but knock. Knock deals with knocking on a door of an opportunity, trying to see what can happen. So we need to go that way and work that way with the Lord. Now, God in heaven loves for his spiritual children to have a very practical life of faith with him. God loves for his spiritual children to pray constantly for the needs to be fulfilled. God loves for his spiritual children to be constantly looking for his answers to their prayers in a life of expectant faith while looking to have their petitions fulfilled. And God also loves for his spiritual children to try opening various doors of apparent opportunity to find those answers to prayer as they live by faith in him. Years ago when I was a teenager, my mother, I was without a job at the time. It was the summertime. We were living in a farming community. And my Uncle Dick, who was a farmer, didn't have any need for us at the time to get a job. And I was wondering out loud what I was going to do for the work. And Mom says, well, why don't you go down the road and ask Farmer Gilliam? And I said, man, I've never talked to him before. She says, why don't you go down and talk to him? I did not know at the time, but Farmer Gilliam had actually approached my parents asking if we could work for him. Well, Mom and Dad wanted us to give us the opportunity of showing some initiative. So we went down the road, and when I got to Farmer Gilliam, he was eating supper, and I felt really, really bad, but I knocked on the door, and he let me come in. He was eating supper, and he says, what do you want, Don? And I said, well, I was wondering if you needed some help this year. He says, yeah, I do. When can you start? I said, well, tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, I want you here. Okay. I had the job. I went home. I was shocked. And then my mom told me the secret. He wanted to see us. But she said, I wanted you to learn to begin to get out, because someday you're going to have to go knocking on doors. You're going to have to be looking for a job. And that's exactly how God operates. We need to pray. We need to go out seek. We need to go out and knock. You know, because that's how he operates. He may have the prayer request out there. We've got to go for it. Now, the reason this is effective for the believer is that God gives to those who keep asking. He allows those who keep seeking to find, and he gives to those who in faith in him keep trying various doors of opportunity. That's why he says in verse 8, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. In other words, God loves to interact with his children in a practical life of faith. God is a heavenly father. He's just like you have an earthly dad, but he is a heavenly father who cares a lot about us. And he wants us to realize that he's real. He's alive. He's there. So he says, come on, mix it up with me. I'll show you. Put your trust in me. Get out there and operate. And you'd be amazed at how practical the Lord is in giving us guidance. Now, encouragement to heed this truth is seen in comparing an imperfect, sinful human father's interaction with his petitioning, seeking, and knocking son in a perfect Heavenly Father's similar interaction with his petitioning, seeking, and knocking spiritual children in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Jesus said that even imperfect human fathers do not give their sons a stone if they're hungry and ask him for loaves of bread for food. And then he also said in verse 10 that even imperfect human fathers do not give their sons serpents if they ask them for fish to eat. A serpent would bite and injure you, and you could die with it if it's the wrong kind of a serpent. So if imperfect, evil human fathers know how to give good gifts to their sons, how much more will a righteous, good God give good things to those who walk by faith in him? See, one of the advantages of God, our Father in heaven, is that he put our DNA together in the womb of our mothers. So he knows what we want. In fact, Psalm 139 says that before we even say a word, God altogether knows exactly what it is that we're going to say and how and why. That's the thinking that God has. He knows us like the back of his hand, easily. That's a figure of speech, of course. That being the case, he knows how to make us happy. He knows how to make us fulfilled. So the Lord says, try me, test me, ask, knock, and seek. So, as motivation to live righteously before the Lord, God calls his true spiritual children in Christ to a vibrant and impractical life of faith before him, a life of praying for their needs to be met, while seeking God's provisions for those needs, while also trying to open various doors of opportunity that present themselves towards discovering God's answers to prayers in their lives. We are further encouraged to live by faith this way and realizing that if imperfect, sinful fathers know how to give good gifts to their petitioning children, surely a perfectly good God knows how to give good gifts to his own. So may we keep on asking in prayer. May we keep on seeking and keep on knocking in a life of faith before God to be richly rewarded by him as motivation to keep on living righteously before him. There was an excellent, excellent illustration of this in Mickey Hinman's children's conversation last Sunday. Now, what she pointed out in this children's conversation that there was a key that she and her husband went out to, was it a summer cottage they were at or a Cape Cod? And they had the key to the place, but when they got packed up and everything in the car, couldn't find the key. I couldn't find it up one side and down another. So she was starting to blame him, or he, her, or something. Anyway, there were the bad feelings going on. And she remembered the verse that's about the woman who had lost the coin, so she swept the house and looked it up. So she used that as a vehicle. Okay, I know I had the key last over here. So she went over there, and she said, I picked it up, and the key was on here. It might have fallen down. So she looked down, and there it was in the cuff of her pants. The key was stuck right in there. And they wouldn't have found it unless she had gone back. So she picked out the key, thanked the Lord, all right, and they went locked up, and they took off home. And everybody was happy, and they made up with Pete and all that kind of stuff. So, but the lesson was, I thought it was incredibly practical. They prayed, but then they did more about it. They sought. And they went back and said, where was I when I saw it last? What did I do? That kind of a thing. And I've actually found things that way myself. Sometimes I'll take my glasses off and I'll put them on the most awkward place in the world, and then I can't find it. You know, and it takes hours sometimes, and there it is, you know. Or sometimes what's really embarrassing is you're looking for them and you're wearing them, and someone has to tell you they are right on your face. But that doesn't happen too much. But anyway, sometimes that can happen. You talk about being absent-minded and deep in thought.
But, I think we are all.
Oh, okay. But the point is, we have to pray, and then we have to seek, and then we have to knock, and then the Lord will help us. So God help us to live a life of health. Praise.
Yes.